Good evening and welcome to Zero Time. I'm your host, Maria Z. With the Victorian elections coming up this month, we wanted to draw attention to one of the most dangerous threats to the state of Victoria. Tonight we will be delving into one of Australia's most sinister people. Self-proclaimed dictator, spreader of fear, hatred, and premier divider of the people, Daniel Andrews, who became known as Dictator Dan to many over the past 2 years after he displayed some of the most grotesque media appearances in a time where he was supposed to be keeping his community safe, but actually caused businesses to lose their livelihoods, a huge spike in mental health issues in his state, and an undeniable rise in suicide rates, all as a result of his actions directly, which very much mirrored China's insane zero COVID policy. Dan Andrews is a bully. He's a hateful man. This was evident in his extremely divisive statements about people who chose not to participate in a medical experiment that now has directly resulted in the deaths of millions around the world. We're talking about the COVID-19 injections the conspiracy theorists were right about. He hammered messages through the propaganda machine that is the mainstream media daily about his vaxxed economy, gaslighting and abusing anyone who dared disagree. In this regard, it could be said that Daniel Andrews is personally responsible for all of the people who have died or ended up with permanent disability as a result of him withholding their income if they did not inject this toxic, harmful injection into their bodies. As with any power-tripping dictator whose power and influence relies not on leadership but on intimidation tactics, there is no bigger group that Dan hates more than people who stand up for themselves and their beliefs. Unless they're trans, of course. You see, Dictator Dan is a huge activist for the gay and trans community. In fact, in June of 2022, while we were still being told how necessary it was to maintain social distancing to stop the spread of COVID, the World Health Organization simultaneously declared that monkeypox was a public health emergency of international concern that was predominantly being spread amongst men who have sex with men. In fact, it was a pride festival in Gran Canaria, which was attended by 80,000 people, that was linked to the Spanish monkeypox outbreak event. But despite all of this, Dan allowed the event to proceed and proudly marched alongside the attendees of the pride event, putting all Victorians at risk of not only one but two alleged public health emergency diseases. A research piece published by the Australian Christian Lobby is very telling as to why Daniel Andrews so violently opposed anti-vaxxers but was willing to put people at risk in June of 2022, violating his own alleged beliefs about protecting Victorians and keeping the public safe. Andrews created the nation's first equality minister in 2015. He appointed a full-time gender and sexuality commissioner in 2015 to advocate for LGBTQIA+ issues. And they have the direct ear of the premier himself. Andrews was the first premier ever to walk in a pride march. He led the Melbourne Pride March in his first year in government and has not missed one since. In 2021, he promised the Melbourne Pride March will become one of the largest LGBTQIA+ events that there is, and made it sure that it went ahead in 2022, even though it was the worst pandemic of our lifetime that caused him to terrorize the people of Victoria for almost 2 years, and that was still raging at the time. He put us all at risk. He opposed there being a vote on same-sex marriage in 2017 because he said it would unleash hate and bigotry, suggesting those who support traditional family and marriage values are hateful and bigots. A discussion paper was released on a whole of government LGBTQI strategy in 2020, and Andrews was very clear that he wants this to shape every part of his government. For such a small minority in the population, for it to shape every part of your government, it's very strange. The Andrews government provided $15 million in funding for a pride centre that was scheduled to be open in St Kilda in 2021, a government space in which to host LGBTQIA plus advocacy. Also in 2021, the Change and Suppression Bill was passed without amendments, which imposes huge criminal penalties on doctors, medical professionals, pastors, people of faith, and parents for things as mild as giving advice, praying, or even conversations. Andrew said, quote, some faith leaders have been critical of a law to ban the worst form of bigoted quackery imaginable. This is not kindness and love or the protection of a vulnerable and persecuted group. This is not something to be proud of. Imagine someone who will forever go down in history as being one of the biggest spreaders of hate and division, watching his own residents setting themselves on fire because they can't cope with the terror that he is subjecting them to because of his actions, and doing nothing about the fact that his people are suffering in this manner, preaching to us about kindness and love. I don't think so. He went on to say, quote, pride is not a cold acceptance, it's a celebration. If you're a member of the LGBT community and there's someone in your life that you love, then do me a favor. Next time you're on a tram in Melbourne, hold their hand. Do it with pride and defiance because you have that freedom. They're allowed freedom. Here in the progressive capital, I can think of nothing more Victorian than that. Daniel Andrews would never say something like that to a person of faith. He'd never say, go out there and live what you believe. He'd never tell a heterosexual couple to go out there and be proud of the fact that they're heterosexual and support their traditional family values, support the fact that they don't want their children to undergo mutilation for what they say is going to change their gender, which is not biologically possible. You see, even when considering his record in relation to life, in 2018, Andrews was the health minister in Victoria, and that's when the abortion to birth was legislated. Victoria led the nation in this respect, and as health minister, Andrews played a major role in getting the abortion to birth legislation passed. But listen to all of the following amendments that Andrews voted against. Providing pain relief to a fetus that can feel pain while being dismembered during abortion. Rendering medical care to a child born alive as a result of a failed abortion. Banning partial birth abortion, the practice of partially delivering a baby and then killing it. Requiring mandatory reporting of suspected child abuse victims at abortion clinics. Requiring information to be provided about the health risks of abortion. Offering women impartial decision-making counselling and notifying the custodial parent of a child who is seeking abortion. Let's let that sink in for a moment. These are the things that Andrews voted against. He voted against allowing a baby to have painkillers while it is being dismembered and killed brutally. He voted against providing medical care to a baby that has survived a failed abortion. He voted against reporting of a suspected child abuse victim that's turned up in an abortion clinic. So tell me how this man is for the safety of people, how he actually cares about people when he's actually voting against things that would ensure that we are not subjecting people to cruel practice and making sure that we have checks and measures in place and reporting systems for children who are being abused. It seems if you are to go and vote against reporting of child abuse, then that means and suggests that you are supportive of child abuse. He said afterwards, quote, I'm not a Catholic health minister, I'm a Victorian health minister. In other words, he doesn't believe faith has real application in the public realm. Dozens of babies have been born alive and left to die since these laws were passed unamended, and Daniel Andrews is responsible for voting against this torture of babies. Victoria became the first state in Australia to legalise euthanasia in 2017, apart from a brief episode in the Northern Territory in 1995. Andrews gave the Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, a nice big hug when that passed. The Andrews government was also responsible for removing spatial religious education from schools in 2015 and then made respectful relationships compulsory with content similar to Safe Schools. The Safe Schools program was funded and established by the Victorian government in 2010, and the program included explicit advice on sexual activity, being trans, chest binding, and worse. When the federal government announced it would review the material, Andrews said, quote, if the federal government decides to cut the funding for this program, I'm proud to announce that the Victorian government will make up the shortfall. Safe Schools is officially saved in Victoria. I get my policy advice from experts, not bigots. So in other words, Daniel Andrews calls anyone who is opposed to mutilating children a bigot. Regardless of your religious views, regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, if you are against mutilating children, you're a bigot, according to Daniel Andrews. Jeff Shaw is a former Australian politician who represented Frankston in the Victorian Legislative Assembly from 2010 to 2014. You see, Jeff has insider knowledge about Dan Andrews, and he wants the world to know just what kind of person we're dealing with. Jeff is so sure about how evil Andrews is that he has even referred to him as an antichrist. We think many would agree. He's written a book called Dan Andrews Unmasked in an effort to not only create a history piece that will be crucial when people do look back into the dark times in Australian history that Daniel Andrews created for Victoria, but also to raise awareness as to why this man actually has no place in politics, or any place of influence for that matter, and should be voted out this month. Here's Jeff now. Jeff Shaw, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming on.
Maria, thanks very much for having me.
Well, I'm very interested in you and your fight because you've been someone that's actually had the courage to stand up to the bully of Victoria, someone who, you know, set himself up as a dictator of the state, as we remember, with his pandemic laws, and really is a very dangerous character, in my opinion, just based on his actions over the past 2 years alone. But you've actually written a book about this. We want to go into some of what your research has led you to conclude, and I just think it's really important for people to hear, particularly because we've got the elections coming up, and we don't want Dan in power anymore. I mean, any sane person wouldn't. But Jeff, let's start with what actually inspired you to start researching Dan Andrews.
Well, you're right, Maria. I worked in the same place as him in the Victorian Parliament between 2010 and 2014. I was on the Liberal side and then went independent when I thought the Liberals were faltering dramatically. And Dan Andrews, you're right, he is a bully, and he's no one knew who he was in 2014, really. He is a vile individual. And what inspired me to write this book is during our sixth lockdown, about a year ago in our sixth lockdown, I decided, I need to pin something down to create a history of what's going on because people seem to forget.
They do.
I mean, myself, I don't know about you and your listeners and your viewers, but certainly I can't even remember what I had for dinner three nights ago, let alone what Dan Andrews talked about, especially during 20 and 21, over 200 daily sermons of dread, I called them, where he'd front up to the microphone and he'd sprout his figures and how bad we are and or how well we're doing, or the one-liners that came out like we're all in this together, and the crazy comments that came from his mouth. And someone needed to record it, and it wasn't getting done. Certainly mainstream weren't doing that. They'd just follow whatever he was saying. And so really it's a 61,000 word condensed history, I guess, of his 20 years in Parliament.
So you've actually witnessed this behavior from Dan. I mean, and you're so right, Jeff. People do forget. They move on with their daily lives. And in a way, I don't blame people because it's not pleasant to continuously remember the trauma that they were subjected to by these so-called leaders who were not displaying leadership at all in those times. Leadership is courage. Leadership is giving people hope. Leadership is directing people in the right way, not ways that destroy their country, their economy, and their mental health. I recall people someone setting themselves on fire during the lockdowns and during the mandates because they just simply could not cope with life anymore. And that was largely caused by Dan Andrews himself, and I'll happily say that. So talk to us about some of the key things that we really have to remember, because the chapters in your book are dedicated to the different aspects of Dan Andrews. Where would you like to start?
Wow, yeah, I'll start with just that on the chapters. I mean, out of the 61,000 word, there's 23 chapters. And just for something unique, and I guess something that the people can remember, is they all start with D. Every chapter starts with D. And obviously there's some clear ones there, like Dr. Dan, where I interviewed a number of different high-level doctors. You know, he would always come out and say, I get my advice from medical experts. Well, he didn't speak to these medical experts, Professor Ian Brighthope and the like. There's one a chapter in there called Digger and how it affected the Australian Defence Force and former war veterans, who gave me their personal stories when I interviewed them about how lockdowns have affected them, how simple things like face masks would put them, some of them, into trauma because they couldn't see what people around them were like. Were they a threat? Were they not a threat? Because they suffer from distress, post-traumatic stress and disorders from past experiences in wars or in the defense force in non-war time. So it's quite a scary thing for these people. It goes into, there's a chapter called Despicable Dan, where he attacks women. He attacks women in his own party. He attacks Margaret Court every year when the Australian Open comes out, calling when people ask him for the renaming, should Margaret Court Arena be renamed? And it gives him a platform to again sprout his anti-family and anti-Margaret Court sentiments. But we've seen that as well, where he's picked
on. Could you give us an example of some of the anti-family things Dan has done?
Yes, certainly. Well, he's not pro-traditional marriage, for example. So he has destroyed, through his policies, traditional marriage. He's destroyed, I'll touch on this one. It's in my chapter called Death and Destroying Families. He has no respect. He's brought in legislation that is pro-killing. It's pro-abortion. It's pro-euthanasia. He had a inquiry on the hotel quarantine where it says his government's directly responsible for the deaths of 801 people in hotel quarantine, which happened in mid-July 2020.
And so how did these people die? Was it medical neglect or?
Yeah, so the work that was done through through his lockdowns, the report has come out and said 801 people have died as a direct result of the decisions they made during that lockdown of people in hotel quarantine and the security firm that they used and people coming in and out, that he's directly responsible for. And he says he's directly responsible for the government he leads and the decisions it makes. That's one of his lines.
Correct.
And, you know, since 2000...
Sorry, Jeff, if I can pause you there. That is a higher number than people that died from COVID. And we know that we don't actually know those numbers because of the fact that our health officials have come out and said, oh, well, we don't know that, we can't distinguish between those that died from COVID or with COVID.
Yeah.
And the numbers actually were not accurate. So potentially what we're saying here, Dan Andrews is responsible for more deaths than COVID.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. In fact, he's responsible. If you take in euthanasia and his enthusiastic support of abortion, there's been more than 200,000 deaths in Victoria since 2008 when he was health minister. Now, that's more than twice all the casualties that Australians have suffered in 120 years of wars. I mean, that's a staggering figure. And yet, as you brought up before, there seems to be a psychosis across Victoria where some people think this guy's our saviour. He's actually not. He's the reverse of that.
In the next segment, we're going to get into how Victorians and Australians in general seem to be suffering from Stockholm syndrome after being gaslit for 2 years. We'll be back right after this short break. Dr. Zelenko saved thousands of lives through his protocol. On his website, you'll find Z-Stack, an all-in-one immune-boosting formula, as well as Z-Detox, which could be helpful for those who've been vaccinated, and kids' vitamins as well. 10% of the proceeds will go to the Zelenko Freedom Foundation to keep Dr. Zelenko's legacy going. The link is in the description below.
Strengthening the lockdown as well from 11:59pm tonight. There will be a curfew on advice from the Chief Health Officer from 9pm to 5am each and every day. That comes into effect from tonight. There will be no removal of masks to consume alcohol outdoors. So you will no longer be able to remove your mask to drink a cocktail at a pop-up beer garden on a footpath as part of a pub crawl. Playgrounds, basketball courts, skate parks and exercise equipment, despite the fact that it's outdoors, will be closed from 11:59pm tonight. This spreads amongst kids and we just can't have those potential transmission sites open. Religious broadcasts, they'll be further limited, same crew. You can't have a revolving crew every week. It's got to be the same people who produce those broadcasts, as important as they are. Permits for authorised work will come back, not from tonight, but there'll be a little bit of leeway so that we can move to that system, but that's from 11:59pm tomorrow night. So if you're an authorised worker, you'll need a permit, just as you did last year. Because there's video footage of a particular engagement party, I think it's only fair that I make a couple of comments and explain to you why I'm angry about that event. I know many, many people across Victoria are angry about that event. It shouldn't have happened. Some of the commentary in the video is just blatant. But what makes me really angry about it is that there are 69 people at that event. And no matter what you're told or what you read, the facts are these. There has been transmission at that event. There has been transmission at that event. The only question is whether it'll be a super spreader event. It's already a transmission event. No matter what you're told, they are the facts.
Now, as Jeff said, Dan behaves like some sort of a self-proclaimed saviour, and he's just not. And the reality is that the Victorian people that were gaslit for almost 2 years straight, manipulated, tortured through the media, obviously, some of them developed some sort of a connection to their oppressor, otherwise no one in their right mind would be supportive of this man. We continue on with Jeff now. I want to ask you about that. I want to explore that a little bit because The Guardian just came out with a very interesting article. We'll bring that up in a moment, where they're actually talking about the fact that Dan is still set to win the election, even though he's so hated. And I'd really love to get your take on this because here it is. The article from The Guardian on the screen for the viewers right now, it says that the Daniel Andrews paradox, the enduring appeal of Australia's most divisive premier, it does go on to acknowledge that he's dogged dour, the opposite of charismatic. Despite lockdowns and scandals, Daniel Andrews appears set to win another four-year term. Now, Australians have many questions about our election integrity. There were many questionable things that happened during the federal elections. And so I want to get your take on this, Jeff. Are Victorians experiencing a Stockholm syndrome, or are these people actually misleading us as to the amount of support that Dan Andrews has?
Gee, that's a really good question. You know, I don't speak to too many people, Maria, that are actually going to vote this guy. But I do hear that people are going to. And I think this is, like we were saying before, a psychosis across Victoria where he is the lead. He is the leader and he has saved their lives. Well, I want to tell Victorians, no, he hasn't saved your life. In fact, we have more deaths from COVID or with COVID on the stats in Australia than anywhere else in Australia. And that's even on a per capita basis. So we take in about 25% of the land mass of Australia. Oh, sorry, excuse me, 25% of the population of Australia. And yet we have 40% of all COVID deaths. Now that to me is not a success. If it was to be a success, there'd be at best 25% deaths would relate to our population, but it's not, it's 40%. He is a disaster. To Victorians, and I just wish we would wake up as a society that this is the case. Now, it could be a form of Stockholm syndrome, that here we were during the whole lockdown time thinking we're doing a really good job because Dan would say, you've got to do your part to save the community and you've got to stay home. So people go, yeah, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to save the community. That's what I'm going to do as my high calling. And people bought the lie. I'm sorry, at a real blunt level, people bought the lie. And it's coming out time and time again. I mean, every week we're seeing something different coming from overseas, that all this, and in Victoria, that all this was a lie. People are coming out. Doctors are coming out more. Normal people coming out more. There's been deaths from vaccines that people are saying. And the crazy thing is, we have more people in hospital now from COVID and on ICU than any on the day that he announced lockdowns, on all those 6 days, that all of them combined.
Yes.
And yet here we are. It's lunacy.
It's astounding, actually. I mean, and the only reason why there's no pandemic awareness in the public anymore, I really want people to grasp this, is the fact that you're not being told daily case statistics in the media anymore. Yet, if they really cared about the statistics, they would be reporting to you now, this many people are hospitalized. Why aren't they doing that? If their vaccines worked so great, then there wouldn't be that many people hospitalized. So if they dared report the number of people that are currently in ICU, the entire Australian population would know that they lied to you about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. But what they're doing is sweeping it under the rug and trying to just move on. And Dan is being painted as someone that's progressive and he's going to help with all these, you know, trans rights and you know, this leftist ideology. And we're talking about such a small representation of the community. The LGBT community is such a small percentage of Australia, but they're doing this all over the world. And Dan is clearly aligned with a globalist takeover to destroy our society and destroy our values. And you mentioned traditional family values. That is a huge part of it. I want to go into the branch stacking allegations against Dan Andrews, and it talks about the independent broad-based anti-corruption commission was investigating allegations that former Minister Adam Somyurek led a branch stacking regime for years with factional allies paying for other Labor's memberships to influence parliamentary candidate pre-selections. What was Dan Andrews' role in this?
You know, I'm waiting for the truth to come out with regards to this. I mean, you mentioned Adam Somyurek there. He could have come out many years ago and exposed this. It's only when he was sort of thrown under the bus and being investigated himself that he decided he'll rope some other people in. So I don't think he's a credible witness, because he could have come out, or he has no integrity, I don't think. He's cut from a similar cloth to Dan Andrews. Dan's on the socialist left. Adam's not. I've got it mentioned in my book as well, that as much as I would love, it went through a process. He should have come out a long time ago, Adam, and for him to come out crying now, or even some police detectives coming out now saying there was some sort of cover-up, why didn't you come out 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago when this happened, and you're coming out now? I mean, what's the corruption through the whole system that Labor has put together, where people will be quiet, and instead of being honest and open and not lying through inquiries, they're coming out now because Dan Andrews is not their friend anymore. I think it's terrible. It stinks. If investigations were done into Dan Andrews, which they were twice by the police, and they found him nothing to answer for, and the ombudsman did, and they paid back the $388,000 Labor, they should have, way back then, not deceived the police and not deceived the ombudsman. For them to come out and say now, after all of that, it's just so wrong. It stinks. These guys are corrupt. They're liars. They've destroyed businesses. One of my chapters is on Paul DiMartino. You may know Paul DiMartino. He was hugely outspoken in the hospitality industry here. He owns a place called Lamaro's in South Melbourne. And constantly on Sky News and the like, how it affected his life, his family, his business, and other people in the hospitality industry. He's a destroyer of small business. He's a destroyer of Victorians' lives. He's a deceiver. And it's corrupt throughout the whole Labor government. I don't think there's too many people in Labor that haven't been touched and smeared by this, and including sectors of the public service, especially in the health and the police.
I respect your transparency around that question. We've got to be open and honest about everything that's going on in politics if we want people to be educated and make a change. The fascinating part to me, Jeff, is how people aren't. We spoke about people forgetting before. Yes, we spoke about that. People were
Yes.
much more involved in politics when they saw it all going wrong over the past 2 years. And I've had these conversations many times. I spoke to Rukshan about this very same thing. And Rukshan said to me at one of the first episodes of Zero Time, he said, now is the independent journalists play such a crucial role to keep the public awareness going because people are forgetting. And so, when we look at the COVID measures that Daniel Andrews implemented, mind you, the UN released a report called the Melbourne Experiment, where they praised it and said, how great is this for future climate lockdowns? Huh? So Daniel Andrews took part in that so-called experiment where the United Nations are referring to the people of Melbourne as a lab rat. Daniel Andrews facilitated that. We have to keep bringing this to the surface so that people don't forget. Why do you think, what do you think is the best tactic to get people to remain involved in politics before we go down the path of these corrupt so-called leaders getting into power again or making decisions for people that are actually going to be very detrimental for our future because they do not have the people's best interests at heart.
You know, Maria, a lot of these people throughout the lockdowns have risen up who didn't want anything to know about didn't know anything about politics before. Monica Smith was one of those people who set up Reignite Democracy Australia. She and many others who didn't want anything to do with politics, but unfortunately, politics came to them, and politics invaded their life, and politics locked down their schools, locked them in their house. Restricted on what you could eat, restricted you on how you could exercise, restricted you seeing going to funerals, going to see your sick parents, people going to see their grandchildren. Politics came to them, and so people rose up and said, "No, this is enough. I'm not standing for this." And the ones who woke up, not the ones who took it all gladly, like some public servants thought, "This is great. I'm getting paid a lot. I can work in my pajamas at home, and things are going okay." But for outside of those 10% of people who work in the public service, life wasn't easy. Life wasn't easy. Here we've got this guy who comes out punishing the peasants. We were his peasants. He would punish us with fines I have never heard of before. $100,000 if you serve someone who isn't vaccinated in a cafe,
Sickening.
$5,400 fines on people who wouldn't wear face masks. He would encourage people on one of his crazy sermons of dread. He encouraged people to dob people in if they hear some noise or see some cars outside their house because you couldn't gather together. In churches, you had to wear face masks when churches were eventually open. You had to wear face masks when you were singing. Crazy, crazy stuff. And look, I wish people would. I mean, another crazy one. If you're a sport person, we lost the MCG grand final from the MCG 2 years in a row. That should get every footy fan very frustrated. Not to vote this guy back in, just purely on the football side of things. And he certainly he's not a sportsman, but he plays golf. And when he reopened the golf courses, he said, "Yes, you can go play golf again, guys, but you can't use the toilets there." Now, this is comical. Yet he apparently gets the he doesn't get his advice from conspiracy theorists. He gets them from expert medical advisors. The guy, seriously, Victorians, we need to wake up.
Coming right up after this break, we are going to talk about Daniel Andrews completely disregarding child safety under the guise of equality and actually exposing children to sexualization. We'll be right back right after this. Head to Survival Supplies Australia, a Z Media partner today to prepare you and your household. They have the most comprehensive range in the country for all of your survival needs, including long life food, emergency 20-year life water, alternative power sources, and so much more. Head to the link in the description below to let them know you've come from Z Media.
Protect the health system. We've got everybody locked down. We're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated and we open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments available, and there'll be even more appointments available throughout September, October, November. Let's get to those thresholds as fast as we possibly can. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate in that if you are vaccinated. Now, that's not right now, because of course there's many more people who want to get vaccinated than we actually can get through the system. But we're going to get to a point where everybody who can get vaccinated will have been offered the chance to do so. And we are not going to have a situation, well, at least not in Victoria, where we lock the whole place down to protect people who won't protect themselves. These go and get vaccinated.
That's right, Daniel Andrews does not care about children. In fact, he wants to sexualize them, and he has waged quite a war on anyone who would oppose that, including, more than anything, those that have displayed religious or, more so, Christian values. Jeff has more to say about that right now.
We need to wake up. Politics came and invaded our lives. I'm only getting back into politics now and wrote that book because he came in my life, and I thought a history book, an educational book for people, needs to be written, because we're going to forget. And something like this is condensed 61,000 words so people can remember what has happened. And what happened to your fellow citizens? They were arresting Christian pastors and jailing them for opening their church just 30 minutes from here in Narre Warren. Females dragged out of their cars for being more than 5 kilometers out of their zone. Pregnant women arrested in front of their children in their pajamas, supposedly for inciting some sort of riot or some sort of protest on Facebook. The things that this guy does, I would say, is criminal, but he's making the rules up as he goes, and he'll get off scot-free, and everyone else was a criminal.
Is Dan Andrews an anti-Christian leader?
He certainly is. 100% he's anti-Christian. Can I touch on a couple of those things that he's,
of course,
he's done? One of my chapters in there is called Chapter 6, but it's actually Chapter 666, and it's called Devil, because Dan is an antichrist. He's against people of faith. He came out in 2008 when he was a health minister, and he enthusiastically embraced and supported abortion. And he said to people, some Catholic friends of his apparently came up, and he said, these are the words he quoted, was, "I'm not a Catholic minister. I'm the Victorian health minister." It shows his degradation. Now, he not only showed his degradation just from that comment there, but his policies he's put through to close churches down, to arrest Jewish people in front of their synagogues and fine them over $5,400 for gathering on their new year last year, had mounted police outside synagogues throughout Melbourne, but particularly in Ripon Lee, just south of St Kilda, having Christians wear face masks to church and while they're singing, closing places of worship down. Not only is his policy, Margaret Court, he picks, as we mentioned before, he picks on every single year and berates her beliefs. But then only a few weeks ago, Maria, he picked on a guy called Andrew Thorburn, who was a CEO of Essendon for one day, and he was National Australia Bank CEO prior to that. And because of his Christian beliefs, Andrews put him down as well and criticised those beliefs. Now, Here is a representative of Victoria, puts himself as the leader, or his self-imposed dictator. And he not only, Maria, did he separate essential workers from non-essential. Do we all remember that? He separated essential from non-essential. I was
Yes,
non-essential.
telling human beings that they're not essential.
Exactly what he was doing. He would then not go further and say, right, if you don't get vaxxed, you're not going to participate in the vaxxed economy. So he's separating the vaxxed from the unvaxxed.
Yes.
And then he goes further separation now, and he's picking on individuals directly. He locks up Paul Furlong in Narre Warren for opening his church. He picks on Margaret Court every single year and berates her. By the way, there's only a couple of years difference between Margaret Court and his mum. He's picking on someone his mum's age. And now with Andrew Thorburn, where he criticizes and he promotes the homosexual lifestyle over a Christian lifestyle or a traditional marriage lifestyle. Now, if you're talking about equality, well, why don't you treat it all as equal? Why are you picking on one and not the other?
I agree with that. We did a recent segment, Jeff, and it's relevant to this conversation because he is the Premier of Victoria. There was a festival that was being held. We're talking about the Melbourne Fringe Festival, which Dan Andrews would have endorsed, certainly. It's happening in his state. And in this Fringe Festival, there's one particular event that was rated M, which means for children, suitable for children 15 and up. And it openly says in there that there will be sexual content and nudity. That, my friends, is called pedophilia. Exposing children to sexual content and nudity is pedophilia. Now, you would think that as a responsible premier of the state who claims to condemn acts of violence or abuse against children, as someone who is a responsible member of that state, that there would be checks and measures in place to make sure that children aren't attending an event where there is openly sexual content and nudity. However, within that same event posting, it actually said, Jeff, that cis people who don't know what cis means, if you're cis and you attend, they're going to treat you like you're trans. And if you are cis and you don't know what cis means, you're not welcome to come. It actually said you can't come. So this whole illusion of equality presented by these people, and Dan Andrews is one of them, is not actually inclusive at all. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, I tend to disagree a little bit there, Maria. I think he's very inclusive of people who believe in his ideas.
Sure. But exclusive of anyone else?
100%, 100%, yes. So you and I wouldn't be at a invited to his Christmas party or his. We probably wouldn't have a Christmas party, but because that's it might be a bit too Christian for him. So we would certainly wouldn't be allowed anywhere near the guy, nor would I necessarily want to be either. But
I was just about to
this
say
is
I wouldn't want to go, Jeff.
no, good. We can have our own one, Maria, without him. And now, as far as equality is concerned, no, he throws equality and tolerance around like there's some great virtue that he owns, and people like you and I don't, and we need to be re-educated in that. Where the fact of the matter is, he is so intolerant. He is so intolerant. He wants to sexualize our kids. You're correct. The whole curriculum, the whole leftist, wokist agenda is sexualizing our children. I don't want my 12-year-old knowing about that. I certainly don't want them taught by teachers. My wife can do that. Certainly when I was growing up, it wasn't sex education, but it was biology. So you knew about reproductive organs, for example, but we weren't shown pornographic films or going to festivals that promote what they say is M, which should be R-rated at least.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So no, he's a destroyer. Look, the facts are just, it doesn't matter what comes out of his mouth as far as what he says he believes in equality and tolerance. He doesn't. It doesn't matter that he's there to when he says, the decisions I made were to save people's lives. No, it's anything that comes out of his mouth, pretty much. And I don't say this about many people. You can just about turn it upside down and look 180 degrees the other way because he's totally lying. He's not for children. He's for the exploitation of children, and that is shown through the policies that he brings out. I mean, we talked about how he attacked Christians in the past and his anti-family policies. Did you know under the Suppression and Act that parents can't even pray if they were Christians or Muslim or Jewish? They can't even pray for their children if their children are in a homosexual environment. Or they said, "Hey, mum and dad, I've got these feelings, but I don't want these feelings." You can't even pray for them. It's a criminal offense.
Yes, and they can be jailed for trying to stop their child undergoing gender reassignment surgery, which is a lying term in itself because you can't reassign someone's gender. It's not biologically possible. You can play pretend, but it's not possible to actually reassign your gender. And here's another example of people like Dan Andrews and their bad science when they say they're following the experts, as you said, following his chosen experts that go along with the narrative that have resulted in more hospitalizations than before the vaccine rollout, so-called vaccine, not a vaccine. And the same thing applies to his gender ideology, where he is actually claiming, I mean, he's trying to strip the right of parents to stop their children mutilating their bodies. This is a parent and child relationship. And from what I've seen, Jeff, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the state of Victoria, he has allowed it to be written in that teachers and schools can work with the child to go and do this mutilation behind their parents' backs. And should the parents try to intervene, they can face criminal charges.
It's incredible that he wants to usurp the parental role. He wants to become Daddy Dan himself. Now that's a scary thought, having Daniel Andrews co-parent with you. In fact, he doesn't want to co-parent with you. He wants to get you out of the way if you don't agree with his narrative, and he'll take control of the kids. It's crazy ideology. You know, Maria, we have so many other issues here, like massive debt that this person has brought us into. It's gone up more than 5 times in 8 years when he took over as leader. 5 times, from 22 billion to over 110 billion. And he throws these red herring, dangerous red herrings in to take people away from what's happening in the economy. And he's throwing these transsexual parental rights, taking away parental rights away from people. This guy is a disaster.
And I want to say something here, Jeff. I want to make one statement and then solidify that point that you just made. If he was about equality, he would be about equality for all. And this is the hypocrisy of these people that have this ideology. They talk about equality, they virtue signal, but that would mean being respectful of people of faith, being respectful of people of other belief systems, and actually coming to some sort of a public, public, let's talk about it in a public forum. Let's discuss this. But here's the thing. Most people over the past 2 years only just became aware of how dangerous Dan Andrews is. But this is, he didn't just become dangerous in 2020. He
No.
always has been. It's underlying that evil streak that he has is inside him from long before. Could you comment a bit on that?
It's in his DNA. It's in his DNA. He is evil. In my book, I actually call him an Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, but he's certainly an Antichrist. And throughout his 20 years in politics, even when you didn't know him until these last couple of years, or even if you did, he was certainly silent between 2002 and 2014 before he came premier for the most of the population. But throughout his history, he's a segregator. He's a discriminator. And we've shown that clearly. We've seen that clearly, and it's in the book clearly, where he, and we've mentioned it, where he separated people from essential and non-essential, vaxxed and non-vaxxed. He's quite happy to pick on people. He shows there is no equality unless that equality is with him. Everything is hate speech unless it's his speech, unless it agrees with him.
Yes, and that is, these are the markings of a totalitarian-minded person, someone who does not seek to actually lead the people but control the people. And this is why we're doing this special on Dan Andrews this week, because we have the Victorian elections coming up on the 26th of November. is when everyone will be voting. Pre-polls open up before that, you were saying. So you are a former Victorian MP, but you're actually getting back in the game now because of the fact that Dan Andrews is so dangerous to the people of Victoria and the people of Australia, and you want to make a difference. Talk to us about that.
Oh, well, totally. You know, Marie, people are starting to rise up with their voice, and I've got a voice, you've got a voice, and I just had enough. I mean, there was time to rise back up again into that sphere of politics, because I had a number of people ask me throughout the time, when are you getting back in, when are you getting back in? I said, I'm not interested. But once again, politics has come to me. I didn't go to it, and it's time to make a stance. And, you know, if you don't stand up against evil, who's going to stand up against it? We've got to stand up against that riding tide of wokeism that's affecting our children, that's affecting our state, that it's affecting our economy, that's affecting our wallets just in cost of living. The rot's got to stop. And that's why I put my hand up to run in the upper house for the United Australia Party in this election.
Not to mention this reducing individuals' use of or emission of carbon while they fly around in private jets. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about Albanese jet setting here, there and everywhere. And Dan Andrews is someone that's aligned to this, and all of the premiers are. You know, we're in a climate crisis, yet we can fly around in private jets every day. It's absolutely disgraceful, the level of hypocrisy of these people. So you're running with the UAP, and what can people expect from you if you are actually successful?
They can expect a mouth, and a mouth that will give it not to the people but to Dan Andrews, unlike he has given it to the people and not himself. He'll be held more to account if he wins. I hope he doesn't, Victoria. I hope he does not win. But the crazy leftist thinking that's going through our education system, that's going through our health system, our cost of living because of, and now I know governments are not responsible for all cost of living, but it's certainly responsible for the gradual and this year steep increase in electricity prices, because there's no encouragement for our, you know, we've got 500 years of brown coal, and somehow to the leftists, oh no, brown coal's really bad. Well, we've been having it for centuries. We've had it for centuries. We haven't had wind farms and solar for centuries. Now, I'm happy for those things to continue. If people want to do that, that's great. Sure. But we are subsidising them hugely as Victorians, and it's costing us. The more Victoria gets in debt through Dan's spending, the worse it is for us as a, on a whole. Where he stopped, where he allowed people to go crazy and buy, only 2 years ago, people might remember, toilet paper, for crying out loud. People were fighting over toilet paper and the supposed shortage. And he comes out 2 weeks ago and he says, I'm thinking of taking back, reopening the SEC, the state electricity commission. Now, he can't run anything, and yet somehow he thinks he wants to run power in this state. The power shortages and power increases are directly related to him, not the private companies that are there. The extra taxes and burden that he's put on those companies, they have to pass it on to customers. To have him run anything in this state is an absolute joke, to think that he wants to take back over that. So mine's a big no as far as this false religion of climate change. We need to get back and say, our pockets are hurting. Our wallets are hurting. I just heard last week, $1,000 a year is expected our power prices to go up by. We can't have that, Victoria. We've got it in Victoria, the cheapest coal, the cheapest electricity available. And we need to maybe look at other options as well, but wind and solar and this highly subsidizing fantasy that the Labor Party are on is costing us every day.
Every day Australians are suffering while the leader of Ukraine, paid actor Vladimir Zelensky, is profiting and dripping in the gold thanks to Australia's continuous donations to his cause. Dan Andrews Unmasked is the website where people need to go. danandrewsunmasked.com.au. Up on your screen right now, a behind the scenes insider relives the dark side of Victorian Labor Premier Dan Andrews. And I want to say this again, Jeff, anyone that is that is working towards offering a piece of history for people to remember what our people in Australia went through is a hero in my eyes, because we must never forget what they put us through and what they got away with last time. Imagine what they'll try on next time. You think that they haven't done this social experiment so they know how far they can push the people next time? They're not done with us. And if we don't get back control of our country, we are in a dire situation for the future, especially for the sake of protecting our children. I certainly wish you all the best, and anyone who is standing against Dan Andrews in this upcoming election and in the fight for humanity in general. Jeff Shaw, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Maria. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Likewise. As you can see, this terrorizer of Victorians has no place in politics or any leadership role for that matter. We have seen how quickly he turns against his own people, bullying the very members of parliament that surround him and Victorians as he sees fit. How he changes laws according to his dictatorial desires, and how he has no intention of stopping the sexualization and mutilation of children, and in fact wants to stop any parent intervening to the point of criminal charges for those that try to protect their children from this predatory ideology. This man is dangerous, and Australia needs to know it. Jeff has graciously offered Z Media viewers a 10% discount from his book, Daniel Andrews Unmasked. Visit the link in the description below for danandrewsunmasked.com.au and use promo code Z Media with three E's for 10% off your order. It's an important piece of history, and we think every Australian should remember exactly what this man is really about. Well, that's all that we have time for this week. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We ask that you share this everywhere, this crucial information about who Dan Andrews really is, and ensure that no one votes for him in the elections this month. We wish you and your loved ones a safe week ahead, and we'll see you next week right here at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays on Zero Time, exclusively on zmedia.com. God bless.
First and foremost, masks and face coverings will, from 11:59 p.m. Wednesday night, be mandatory for everyone in Melbourne and Mitchell Shire. If you are out of your home for one of the four permitted reasons, then you need to be wearing a mask, and I stress, or a face covering. Victorians have done a quite amazing thing to go and get vaccinated.
Sorry?
If there's people that don't want this mandatory vaccine, how do we manage this?
Well, then they won't be going to work. That's a proportionate response. That makes sense. And I'm not looking to exempt anyone. I think I'm in the business of encouraging, and where necessary, through orders signed by the Chief Health Officer, mandating. Victorians have done a quite amazing thing, to go and get vaccinated. Only get one chance to go hard and go fast. We're all angry to be in this predicament again. And that's a special thing. That's a very special thing. There's so little cold and flu around that if you've got symptoms, you've got COVID. That's what you have to assume.
Z Media is proud to announce our limited time partnership with Gold Stackers, Australia's leading dealer of gold and silver bullion. In such uncertain times in the market, many are switching to lasting physical assets like gold and silver rather than depending on the crumbling financial system. Gold Stackers is an Aussie partner you can trust. They have a huge range of available gold and silver at competitive prices, a friendly, experienced team on standby for all of your questions, are family-owned and have been specializing in precious metals for over 40 years. They're looking forward to helping anyone that has come through Z Media, so click the link in the description below or call 1-300-618-363. Let them know you've come through us and secure your wealth today. Z Media is the leader in independent media in Australia. Head to zmedia.com and the interviews page for all of my latest interviews with experts from across the world, contributions on The Stu Peters Show, and weekly Zero Time broadcasts. You'll also find another videos page on there where you can stay informed about what's happening around the world. In the merch section, men's tees, women's tees, long sleeve tees, unisex hoodies, and kids merch, you can support us on the support page. And also head to our affiliates page to support the businesses that choose to partner with us.